Welcome back to another episode of Christmas and Chill, the podcast where we give warm, toasty takes on Netflix's finest holiday films. I'm Katrina.
I'm August.
Oh, okay. Glad you worked that out. This is season 4, episode 4, and we are covering A Castle for Christmas. So this one is a very special one. It's starring Brooke Shields, and I don't know how you pronounce his name, honestly. It was the guy from The Princess Bride, Cary Elwes.
What's the last time that either of them did anything?
Actually, they've been very active. I went on both of their IMDbs, and they both churn out a few movies a year.
There we go.
Yeah, they stay busy.
So before we dive into all the great discussion, let's get a synopsis of this movie.
I'm happy to provide. Author Sophie Brown flees to Scotland, her family's homeland, after her latest release leaves readers disgruntled. Returning to the castle where her father had worked, Sophie meets the grumpy and debt-riddled Duke of the Castle. She makes a generous offer to buy the castle, makes mean, then makes nice with the curmudgeonly Duke, turning their relationship from icy to wrapped in a velvet tartan. The end.
Beautiful movie.
What's our segment going to be for today, August?
The segment is Dun Dunbar's Slang Slang.
Okay, so what's going to happen here is I'm going to give a Scottish slang term, and August has to tell me what he thinks it means.
So I don't know anything about Scotland.
August really struggles with any movie where anyone speaks any kind of accent that's a little thick, and Scotland is kind of notoriously extra thick.
Yeah, I'm happy that we had the subtitles for
yes.
the movie. It helped me understand most of it.
And shout out to all of our Scottish listeners. I apologize for anything that I say and pronounce incorrectly. Love your little nation. Do your thing.
I'll do my best to guess the slang correctly.
Okay, let's go. Done.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Dun Dunbar is a castle.
Does it mean castle?
It sure does. Wow. Ding, ding, ding. Gunay.
Is it good night?
No, it's going to.
Okay.
Like, I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
I'm totally pronouncing that wrong, and I also am accidentally putting a redneck spin on everything. I apologize. Manky.
Is that like a blanky?
No, it's being disgusting.
Okay.
Like, the example I saw on the internet was dipping your fries in your milkshake. You're manky.
Mmm.
Yeah. Boke.
It's a cigar, of course.
No, it's vomiting.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you can remember back to Dairy Girls, I think they also use that term, like, I think I'm going to boke.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Weighing?
What form, or what, noun, adjective?
Noun. I got to get home to take care of the weigh-ins.
Oh, wait, it's weigh-ins?
Weigh-ins.
Wait.
But not like the Wayans brothers.
That was my first guess.
Oh, actually, go ahead and guess.
Or Wayans World.
Wayans World.
Yeah.
It means like wee one, so like a child, a small person.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally, Totties and Heron.
Is it like a food? Is it a fish basket?
You're very close.
Fish and chips?
It's, yeah, potatoes and herring.
Okay.
So, Totties
Great.
And Heron.
Excellent.
You did. I don't know, like 2 out of 6.
Great, pretty good for a Dun Dunbar's slang slang.
All right.
Dive into the movie.
So guess where this movie opens, August? Can you remember?
Even if I wouldn't watch the movie, I would have guessed New York.
New York City, baby. Zooming in on a nice little snowy New York skyline.
Yep. What else could you just like pull out of a hat and guess about this movie?
Right, I would assume. I mean, 9 times out of 10, the occupation is some kind of writer.
Yeah.
So she's an author.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She is a writer.
So we meet Sophie Brown, who writes the Emma Gale novels. Not to be confused. I was confused early on as to who was what. But Emma Gale is the fictional character that she writes about. And Sophie Brown is played by Brooke Shields.
Yes.
Really a powerhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooke Shields. But then we see Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, it opens on her on the Drew Barrymore show talking about the controversy from her latest book.
So we don't know what the controversy is going to be. And apparently this controversy is just that she kills a beloved character in a book.
Yep, which authors do all the time.
But I guess in this particular case, it created many downtrodden fans.
Yeah, at least in America, people were very upset that she had killed Winston.
Yeah, and I guess Drew Barrymore suggested that maybe this has to do with her getting a divorce.
Yeah, rough year, messy divorce. Does this have anything to do with the sadness in your life?
All right, and so then she like goes ballistic on the show to defend herself.
So she had actually pushed the character down the stairs to kill him, but here she's saying she could have dragged him behind a car, she could have chopped up his body in little pieces and fed him to the sharks. Yeah. She just really kind of lost her cool out there.
Right. I kind of wish that they would have referred back to that a little bit more throughout the movie and really tied in that specific event more closely to her previous.
Because they didn't really touch much on the previous marriage.
They just kind of, like, Drew Barrymore mentioned it, but I feel like could have been, like, better connected throughout the movie.
We find out later that he's getting remarried pretty quickly.
Right.
So he had probably been cheating on her, I would assume.
But the only indication that she's damaged by it is this TV outbreak. But other than that...
Well, that's not... how we first meet her, really, is her editor's freaking out, saying she's got to fix this. And then she goes on Drew Barrymore and has this meltdown.
So to kind of get over this, she decides, I'm going to go to Scotland.
Well, she has Chinese food and wine with her daughter to have, like, some comfort. And her daughter suggests she needs to just forget the fiasco and get away for a while.
Yes.
So she decides to go to...
Scotland.
Yeah, Dunbar. So her dad, her daughter's grandpa, that is how that works, was like an indentured servant?
He worked at the Dunbar.
I don't think he worked there. I think his dad did. Yeah, because his dad got fired after he snuck into the castle and like carved his name into a door.
Yes.
Yeah. So her dad was just like a mischievous child in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, we just get to Scotland.
Yeah, we've hopped in
there. There's no more exposition. There's no packing of the bags, really.
She just goes, she lands, and then the driver has an indecipherable accent.
Yeah.
And
classic.
They lean into it that she doesn't understand a word that he says and answers his questions with the wrong answers.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't understand what he's saying.
Right. Which, I've never been to Scotland, so I can't really speak to that experience. I've heard other people who've traveled to Scotland who've had that trouble with deciphering what's being said.
I would have trouble. There are no subtitles when you go to Scotland.
That's true.
So, the driver takes her to a hotel called The Castle.
What it was called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Castle Inn or something?
I think it's just The Castle.
Okay.
And there's, like, some kind of, like, employee garden or whatever. And then, like, they have the thing where they bump into each other and she falls in his arms. And that's where they set up the love interest.
Right. So at this point, the love interest is just a gardener at the inn. We don't know that he's going to have any other role other than being a gardener at this point.
I mean, it sets it up. It's pretty on the nose of these people are going to be together.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean... We just didn't know the deeper details about his life at this point.
No.
And his dog, named Hamish, attacks her. Or not attacks, but, like, jumps up on her and wants to be petted.
Yeah, Hamish is, like, really friendly to her.
Yes. She walks into the inn, and they're having a knitting circle inside.
Mm-hmm.
These people will eventually become her best friends here in Scotland. And she meets the innkeeper, who is very personable. Everyone knows who she is in Scotland. They've all read her books. And they're all happy that she killed that character.
Yes.
Which is a total... I mean, she's just feeling great being in Scotland.
Right, because America, they don't like it. Scotland, she's got all the support of her editorial choices.
But her editor still needs those pages. The innkeeper, by the way, is very friendly to her, and her name is Maisie.
Yes.
Just to set up some of the names here. She goes to Dunbar to take a tour because she wants to see the place where her dad, his old stomping grounds...
Mm-hmm. And guess what?
What?
The hotel guy also works at the castle.
How strange.
Yeah.
And he's there being all curmudgeonly and upset. And
he decides, I'm going to give her a tour.
As he's taking her upstairs. Is he giving the tour?
Yeah, he gives her the tour.
I thought it was that other guy.
The guy with the red stuff? Well, he does tours for everybody.
Okay.
But then the hotel worker.
Right. Okay.
He's like, no, I'll... give the tour
for
whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe he's just physically attracted to her.
I think maybe he wants to scare her off. He smells something fishy here, and he wants to check into it.
Hamish likes her.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he wants to give her the tour. Because Hamish, the dog, still like jumps on her.
Yeah. Big buddies.
But yeah, the tour went sour pretty quickly because...
he got called away. And they were at the Velvet Rope where she's not supposed to go upstairs anymore.
Right.
But she knows because of where her father described to her that his carving was, that she could get up there and find it. Right.
She wanders off to the forbidden zone of the castle. And then the dude comes back and says, like, hey, this is somebody's house. Somebody lives here. And it just really went sour really quickly.
I mean, she was snooping.
She was, but I feel like...
It was very like Beauty and the Beast, like, do not go into the West Wing. And it's like,
I feel like the reaction was strong and it completely soured his view on her the rest of the movie in a way that just is a little bit more aggressive. Like, if somebody's snooping around somewhere, it's not a believable reaction to get so upset.
I don't think he got that upset.
Oh, yeah. He did.
I mean, he was like, I could still believe that they were going to fall in love in 20 minutes.
Mm.
And I wrote in my notes, I bet he lives there. I bet it's his house. I bet that's where she's stomping on. I bet he's secretly more fancy than he's showing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the back to the inn, the knitters invite her in. There's a pastry chef. We've got extra yarn. There's this guy, Angus. He hasn't spoken since his partner died. Helen knew her dad, Callum McGinty.
Yeah.
Callum McGinty. Maybe it's Callum. I don't remember. Callum.
Yeah. So, yeah, the old lady knows her dad.
Knew. He's dead.
Knew.
Right. And guess what? Dun Dunbar is for sale. And her family were the groundskeepers there.
She's going to go back and buy it.
And she goes to meet the owner to negotiate. And
guess what? The person shooting Skeet. Is it shooting Skeet?
Clay Pigeons? Clay Pigeons? I think it's Skeet, I believe. Those are similar terms. Gunsman.
He was shooting clay pigeons, and this is the guy who was working at the castle and the hotel.
His name is Miles, and he's the Duke of Dunbar, the 15th Duke of Dunbar.
Yeah, and he is not a nice person.
No, she hates him, but she wants to buy his castle.
Well, they hate each other.
She's telling her daughter that like she hates him.
I mean, they're telling themselves that they hate the other person. You think they're lying to themselves?
Totally. I felt a lot of the time their chemistry was just like negging. It was like hating on each other.
That's healthy.
Yeah, totally. A great foundation to a relationship.
Maybe a lot of people relate to that. So they created a movie for people.
I think in any of these movies, like Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, there's this like, you kind of dog somebody a little bit to show that you're like a little bit of a jerk, but then you get to show your soft side and show what a great person you are. And then they fall in love with you.
What a great message.
Wow, you should definitely peel back those layers on assholes.
You should really pursue a jerk.
See what that buys you. Because you can change them. That's the lesson.
Yep.
So anyway, it's a classic, like, this old city whippersnapper comes in to sweep up this historic property. And he has this plan. He has her sign this contract that says has to put down this really high deposit that's non-refundable.
And she has to stay in the castle for 90 days.
She has to sleep
at Dunbar for 90 days.
Yep. And if she still wants it at the end of that, then...
If she leaves at any point, then...
She forfeits the deposit.
Yes, this is like a money-making scheme.
So he says to his little buddy, she'll be gone in a week and her deposit will get us through spring. So his goal is to make her so uncomfortable that she'll leave.
Right. Which is terrible that he even has a contract like that ready to go. Like,
yeah, just pulled it out from under the table.
Like, he's probably... done this to other people.
You think?
How else would he have a contract like that? Just lying around.
I mean, they'd had some time apart after he met with a realtor, I think, where he could have drawn that up. I didn't think it was immediate.
I feel like he had that offhand.
He's just ready to be a jerk at all times. So he says, all right, I'm going to give you the real tour. This is my bedroom. No reason you should go in there. And it's just like... a neg fest, basically.
I guess, yeah.
So he puts her in this room that's super uncomfortable.
Very cold.
No heat, no fireplace.
The fireplace doesn't work.
Yeah, everything, it's like dripping water every time it rains.
Right.
It's basically like a prison.
Right.
Ish. And she's like, whatever, I can tolerate it so that I can get this property, which is some real fortitude out of her. Or maybe self-flagellation, I'm not really sure.
I don't know. At this point... what is her motivation to buy the house?
She thinks this is where she's going to write her next great work.
And so she's willing to torture herself.
See, I would have been like, okay, you don't get to treat me like this just because. Also, I'm the one with the money here, so you need to
right.
sit down and shut up.
She kind of rolls over pretty quickly. Like, she could have called a bunch of lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for
it. And she could have understood that this castle would have been taken by the bank.
Right, then she could have gotten it for a way better price.
Right.
Because it would have been in foreclosure.
Like, it just wasn't a practical decision to stay there.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so wait for the bank to own it, and then it's yours for, like, real cheap.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to deal with this dude.
Right.
So
I don't know what she has to prove.
Well, she's probably secretly a little... She likes the boys that are mean to her. I don't know.
Who knows?
She totally bought into that narrative that we tell little kids when, like, a boy picks on a girl, like, oh, he likes you. That's what it felt like.
It's the old generation.
I know. Well, Brooke Shields and Carrie Elwes are not.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this was kind of geared towards the older generations.
Well, I would just say the value set lines up more with older generations.
Yep. There's a bathtub scene.
Yeah, so after she's like stumbling around in the night because she doesn't know where she is, and she stumbles, classic, like she's in a castle and stumbles into a coat of arms.
Well, no, Hamish the dog leads her.
Right.
To the bathroom.
To Miles in the bathtub with just a like bathtub. What are those things called that like prop across your bathtub that you can put a book and candles
on? I don't know.
On?
It's
like a bathtub desk.
Yeah. So he's got a bathtub desk.
And he's like, well, pour me another while you're in here. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Yuck. He's pretty icky, all in all.
Yep, he is.
If you add up all these things, it doesn't sound great.
Right, but
He's more charming than I'm letting on here. But when you write it out, it doesn't look great.
I didn't find him charming at all.
I guess I just knew he was going to be the romantic interest, so I was like,
right,
because
she fell into his arms, so
yeah, that's how it's going to be.
By default.
Oh my gosh. Well, he watches her Drew Barrymore interview about killing the main character, and he locks his door after he sees it, because he's scared.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be murdered.
I would like to note here that they were both wearing house fleeces. You know that I love a house fleece, which is basically a really ugly fleece vest that you wear around the house. It has no place outside the home. It's a beautiful item of clothing. I would like to run a commercial for house fleeces at this time.
Go to our Patreon and buy a house fleece.
Oh my god, that's our merch! It's a house fleece! With like Christmas and Chill on the pocket. Wow. Okay, if you want a Christmas and Chill house fleece, write us at christmasandchillpod@gmail.com.
And we'll put in the pile of things that we might do sometime in the near future.
I mean, it could happen. Christmas miracles are possible at any time.
Or make your own fleeces and share it with us.
Yeah, if you wear a house fleece, I want to hear about it. christmasandchillpod@gmail.com.
I want to see your handiwork.
Yeah, I want to see it. Mine's orange, personally. And August had one from his former employer that was so hideous that he threw it out, and now he regrets it. Do you regret it, August?
Not always.
Okay. Just when you want a little warmth.
Yeah, but then I quickly get over it. Let's see. Then her former husband is going to marry somebody. She doesn't even know her name. On Christmas.
Yeah, they're going to get married. Or Christmas Eve, maybe?
Yeah, sometime. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're... Oh, yeah, on Christmas. Oh, in between there's this weird, like, yarn bombers. All of a sudden, Brooke Shields is, like, the queen of the makeover because she grew up over a barber shop.
Right. She knows how to dye
hair. She knows
how
to cut and color hair. First of all, I don't know how much hair gets... I'm not a man. I don't know how much hair gets dyed in a barber shop. You don't really go to barber shops. You're bald, so you can't speak to this either.
I don't know. Yeah, it was just kind of...
I assumed men just, like, dyed their hair at home with, like, a bottle of shoe polish.
It was kind of,
It was stilted, I guess. Just very, yeah,
it didn't really make much sense.
So anyway, the Yarn Bombers thank her by coming into the castle and helping her settle in and making her room really homey and warm and all their yarny things. And we find out that the butler guy, his name is Michael, right?
Maybe.
He dated the innkeeper at one point before she was married. That's now right. She's divorced.
So
you can still
she's
see
available.
A little spark there.
Yep.
See a little spark. And I don't think there's a ton of people hanging around Dunbar. For whatever reason, they then go out, they being Brooke Shields and Carrie What's-His-Face, go out on a fun drive, and they just do all the Scottish things. They're looking out over the moors.
Well, that's after they have, like, a heart-to-heart in front of a fireplace. Yeah. Did she have it with her daughter, or was that between the yarn people? She had the heart-to-heart because he listened to her talk with her daughter
Yes, about what's her face. Yeah.
About what's her face. And then there's like this heart to heart. And they're like, oh, let's go for a little joyride around the country.
Yeah.
And they got flirty eyes the entire ride.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, they went from hating each other to they shared one intimate detail. And now they're just cool. They're fine.
Right.
It was a very quick flip.
Yeah, there's a lot of quick flips here.
Yeah.
Like, there's flip to anger quickly, flip to romance quickly.
It could be called a very mercurial movie. I don't know.
That's right. I can't relate to that.
You are so even-tempered, it's true.
To a fault.
I'm like, get mad. Come on, it's fun. So they're on this fun drive. They're doing all the Scottish things, and she even knows, like, the hairy coos instead of the hairy cows, right?
Sure.
Like the cows with the hair in their faces, they're really cute. I'm not going to lie.
Then she invites him to a drink after the drive.
Oh, first pub. He tells her the legend, the Christmas Eve legend about, were they at a well?
Oh,
they stopped at a well, and there's all these necklaces.
I zoned out during this.
Okay, let me tell the story then. They stop at a well. There's all these necklaces on the well. And he tells her the legend that there was this woman warrior, I'm going to butcher this because I didn't take very good notes on this, who had to save Dun Dunbar at some point, and she put a necklace on the well for her own bravery. And then she, like, defeated it and found a husband at the same time, who was a commoner. And that's the legend.
I'm still confused.
Of the lady and the well and the necklace.
Okay.
And then she's like, cool, let's get a drink, which is very surprising. They haven't volunteered to spend time together right to this point.
So they're going to go down to the pub. And then they break out in singing.
Yeah, there's a lot of singing in this movie. So there's like group singing with the knitters. I feel like the knitters are constantly at their disposal here. Like, they're always together.
I mean, they're staying at the hotel.
The knitters are?
Yeah, they're at the castle.
But they don't, like, live there. They live in that village.
I mean, but they hang out at the castle.
By the castle, you mean the inn?
I mean, it is around Christmas time, kind of. No.
Oh, you think they're off work?
No, we're...
Oh, that's right. It started in, like, October.
Did it start in October?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, the passage of time.
Yeah, it went... I thought it was Christmas time the whole time, and then found out it wasn't, and I was like, wait, what was happening to me? But they didn't really lead us that way very well.
No, they just kind of gave you markers of, like...
And then they're like, it was Christmas Eve!
Yeah.
I felt like it was Christmas Eve for, like, 10 days.
Right. They don't really show the transition, the passage of time, and how long she's really been in the castle.
Right. But anyway, when they're all singing in a group, Brooke Shields seems to know all these deep-cut Scottish songs like Loch Lomond, which I was thinking was improbable, unless her father sang them frequently in her youth. I don't
probably
know. They get back home, they almost kiss. It's so much close. Edging.
Yeah, it's just like they're inches away,
and then she like smells his ear. I think she was supposed to be smelling his hair, but like couldn't get there, so she just like sniffed his ear very obviously, and it was weird.
Ears release pheromones,
do they?
In this movie they do.
That's how it works in Scotland.
That's where haggis comes from.
I'm sorry, Scottish people. Please forgive us. Okay, so then there's a tour coming through the castle, and she's in the little writing room.
She's got writer's block.
She takes over the tour. She stands up and is like, well, what if I give the tour? Because everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's Sophie Brown. If I saw Agatha Christie, I wouldn't know her from anybody. You know, like a famous author, who would you know what they look like? Like maybe J.K. Rowling.
Maybe.
But even so, like, I try not to look at her.
Not in person. Yeah, think I'd...
It would be unusual for me to recognize the majority of authors, even authors that have read a lot of their work. It would be very strange.
Yeah.
I would recognize, like, Silas House, and that is about it.
Who knows? Maybe in Scotland she's very well known for whatever reason.
I guess. They're all like, oh, it's Sophie Brown. She sells all this merch at the castle, which they've been having trouble doing. And then, again, here comes the pack of knitters rolling up in, like, the knitmobile.
Yep.
Which is, like, a van that has all kinds of knit crap in the back.
Yeah, they take Sophie away.
Yep, they take her away. And then he's not happy that she's settling in so well. She's making friends, she's selling merch, she's doing all the things, and he hates it all.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he gives her the Scotch dresser, after all.
Right.
He, like, stole it from a room, and then he fixed it up and put it back.
Right. And then he also finishes carving her dad's name in the door.
I don't know. I guess he was trying to get redemption or something.
Again, mercurial. It's like...
it's like when the Beast took Belle to the library, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know what to do. Here is my library."
I guess.
It does feel very Beauty and the Beast-y, you know? Because it's like, he's this grouchy guy, and he has all these things.
Keeping someone hostage.
It could be a little Stockholm-y. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she's falling. Maybe that's the story.
Maybe that's why I don't understand this love.
I know. I'm like, where is this coming from? He's mean.
Oh, he's had her captive.
Wow. And she's like, I don't care. Have me captive. Yeah, it would totally make sense.
I guess so.
I think we unlocked this movie.
There you go. Gentlemen, there's your strategy.
So... yeah, just kidnap a woman by making her, like, try and buy her house first.
Yeah, you don't kidnap. You, like, coerce them.
Loosely ensnare.
Yes. Give them some incentive.
To come around. So they go out on this, like, horseback journey to find a Christmas tree because she convinces him to decorate the castle for Christmas, which was very charming.
And then we find out he's, like, an environmentalist because he plants two trees.
For everyone that he chops down.
Yep.
Time for this. Oh, the castle used to host a Christmas Eve party to commemorate that lady at the well.
Okay.
So that's where that all
totally
comes to play.
Totally missed that.
Oh, you did? That was like the arc that went throughout the story.
Yep, I zoned out during that entire arc.
Okay, well, that's why they were having a party on Christmas Eve, and it was the first time in a long time because he'd been too grouchy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got the knitters, they've got a party, they've got bakes, they've got singing, they've got Christmas cheer. Thomas and Maisie, maybe having a... his name's Thomas, not Michael. I don't know why I thought his name was Michael. But anyway, they're seeming to be back together. And then, biggest surprise of all surprises back at the inn.
Jingle bells?
Jingle bells.
Did you miss the jingle bells?
What jingle bells?
Where they sing jingle bells they're getting set up?
I didn't want to talk about that because it was too embarrassing.
Well, let's talk about this.
Go ahead.
So, Sophie is like... hey.
It's time to show him the big surprise.
We got a big surprise. And then they just start singing jingle bells. And it goes on for longer than you would like.
It went on way too long.
So think about the amount of time that you would like to listen to a group of people singing jingle bells to your face.
Which is like one of the worst Christmas carols, P.S.
And then like double that time.
They were like, third verse, let's go. All right, now are we ready for my big thing? I want to make sure our listeners are sitting down. I want to make sure everybody has had a drink of water. You don't have any liquids up to your face. You are ready for this information.
Don't be sipping tea or coffee.
No, you're going to do a spit take because I screamed when this happened.
I mean, like, maybe you like spit takes. So
spit takes are kind of fun.
Time to...
just don't choke, okay? If you want to do a spit take, now's the time to sip.
Bring the tea to your face.
Bring the tea to your face. From Princess Switch or the Princess Switch Empire... comes Miss Donatelli and the butler guy checking into the romance suite at the inn.
Yep.
My mind was blown. I screamed. I cried a little bit. I knew Netflix had woven Christmas Prince and Princess Switch together, and I loved that so much. And then they did this. They just went above and beyond.
Makes you wonder how many Easter eggs there are throughout all the movies.
Well, now we got to watch every single one, not just the ones we cover, to make sure we're not missing any other Easter eggs. But I thought that was a wonderful way. Also, literary reference here. In Pride and Prejudice, Lydia, I think it's Lydia, runs off to Scotland to get married to Mr. Wickham, and it's, like, very scandalous. I think Scotland is where you go to do your scandalous stuff, because it's, like, a little bit outside the law. It's, like, up and away.
Is it, like, British Vegas?
Yeah. So, like, Miss Donatelli and the butler guy are, like, having their little Scotland moment, and I am here for it. It's perfect. Thank you, Netflix, for giving me this beautiful gift. I didn't know you had it for me. Frankly, I'm getting a little teared up now thinking about it, because I'm like, who else knows this? Who else has watched all of these movies and notices this thread?
All right, next thing. So I have Saks Fifth product placement.
Yeah, that was weird. She's the makeover fairy godmother.
Yeah, she gives all the knitters. Here's some stuff from Saks Fifth Avenue.
And like, how rich is she to be able to just like,
I mean, she's a world famous author.
Is she supposed to be J.K. Rowling? Is that the secret here? Is she going to go on a rant about trans people at any moment?
I don't know, but like... she's the type of person who gets recognized immediately
That's true.
Small places in Scotland.
Yeah.
So she's doing okay.
Yep. So she's wearing this very special dress that she found in a random room mm-hmm. in the castle.
It's hot.
It's like smoking hot. It's tartan and like black velvet combined. Yeah. It's really wild. Her boobs are out. It's great.
Yeah.
And Hamish the doggy, like, steals her shoe and leads her to Miles's room. Ooh.
Yeah. And then Miles is like, this is my mom/grandmother's dress, then sticks his tongue down her throat.
No, she says, I hope this isn't your mom or grandmother's dress.
Oh, I got the impression that it, like, pretty much was. Because at first he was, like, kind of upset about it.
Well, first he was like, I'm mad. And then he was like, I'm mad at myself. Then they make out.
Right.
And then they do this weird, like, non-consensual-ish talk where she's like, he's like, we shouldn't be doing this. She's like, no, we shouldn't be doing this.
Well, that's not a consent thing. That's, like, just being bad.
Yeah, but it's like, ugh, I didn't like it.
I mean, I didn't like the fact that he got turned on by her wearing
I still don't know if it was mom or grandmother's dress, but it was, well, it had to be somebody in the family because I thought he was going to be like, that was my ex-wife's dress. That was what I figured because it was kind of a modern dress.
I guess aristocrats, they like to keep it in the family.
Oof, so, well, anyway, like, they bone. Or that's implied that they bone.
Yep.
And during it, or like the next morning at breakfast, they play this song that Algus said was performed by a sheep. It's like,
oh my god. Yeah, the music in this movie could have been better.
Good. It was pretty rotten.
It really saved a lot of money.
It seemed like they used the same band for the first three songs.
The sheep band?
Yeah, like not the sheep. The sheep came up twice though.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel really bad if that's some, like, Scottish icon. I apologize deeply, but it sounded like a sheep.
Then there's, like, a strange Christmas montage.
This part was really weird. The song was like, I'm going to risk it all. And then it's just like, oh, it's a Kelly Clarkson song. I think it's Wrapped in Red. Where they, like, remember all the times they were together and in love. It's very out of place.
Yes.
And very weird.
Yep.
And she's actually, like, wearing that dress and, like, with her arms out and spinning and giggling. It's literally what, as a child, I thought romance was. It's very weird.
This is a movie for people who have not been romantic for a long time. They have forgotten it.
You know what? Maybe when I'm in my 50s, I will also start wearing tartan and putting my arms out and spinning and giggling and hoping that you notice me.
Possibly.
Great. So this quickly devolves into the classic...
A strange fight.
Yeah, big stupid misunderstanding.
That's just big stupid misunderstanding, but it's just an odd conflict.
Well, he starts it. She has nothing to do with it, really. He just decides that he goes back to the whole, like, you're just trying to take over my life kind of thing. Like,
it was a bizarre fight.
Or she says, I'm going to let you live in this. I want you to live in the castle with me after this testing period is up.
And then she leaves after this fight. So here's what I don't get. She's been with this person for almost 90 days.
Yeah, 90 day fiance.
Which I imagine has like all sorts of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of conversation where she's had enough and leaves.
And then she's like, I don't even want to buy the castle anymore because it's going to make me think of you. And I'm like, what did you just do all this for?
Right.
She must have really been in love with him.
I don't know. I have a quote from Angus.
Yeah.
Who is in the knitting club.
Yes.
Who and never says speaks. Anything. Yeah. And he says, loving someone is never a mistake.
Oh, yeah. She said this was all a mistake. And he says, loving someone is never a mistake, which is really sweet for somebody who lost their partner.
Right.
That's a very nice thing to say. Another, I think Thomas said this to Miles, castles are meant to have walls around them, not people. So, like, break down your walls, man. Go get your girl. Go get her back. So okay. Then she goes, I paid off all of your mortgages. So I guess they were somehow, like, he was the landowner of all of the knitting club's land. And they paid rent to him, but she paid off all their mortgages. How much money does this lady have?
I mean, she sold a lot of books.
I guess. So now we're at the silly cab driver. cab breaks down. It's Christmas Eve, and everyone's like, you know what? You should just stay at this point. Another montage with a Robbie Williams song.
It's a Miles Love montage.
Yep, it's remembering their love and their heartbreak and their struggles.
I feel like the montages really try to drive the love thing home, and that's the only thing driving the love story.
Because otherwise you're like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. And not even just from a me judging, this doesn't make sense. And it's not like, I don't think Brooke Shields did a bad job. I think she did a good job. I think the writing was, I've said this 1,000 times about these movies, but I think the writing was left something to be desired.
Right. There's no motivation for people to do things. They just like do it.
Because it's like watching Sims where you're like trying to get them to fall in love. And you're like, this kiss or something. Yeah. So basically he comes back to the inn. And he's like, she's like getting ready to leave in sweatpants or whatever. He came back with two horses at the inn to pick her up because I guess no cars were working or whatever.
Yeah.
And anyway, she puts on the dress. She says, I agree. What is the quote that he says?
I'd rather lose Dun Dunbar than lose you.
Yeah. Okay. And she's like, great. Let's make out. And then...
Then
they
go
ride
the
away to the Christmas Eve ball. She's wearing the tartan dress again. Who says you're my family? Oh, Miles gets up on stage and gives this uncharacteristic speech about how
the town is his family.
How the town is his family when he kind of like owns the town, which is pretty weird. We've seen that before in these movies. And then surprise, all the way from America.
Instead Lexi. Of going,
yeah, Lexi, which is Her's Sophie's daughter. Yeah. And she Sophie should. Announces that she's now... Sophie McGinty, which is her maiden name, and not her divorce name of Sophie Brown.
Yes.
So what's she going to do about this book?
That happens after the movie ends.
It pretty much ends there. It's like they're at the party and everything's okay.
Well, the movie, yeah, it's just Christmas morning, and then the movie ends. But then, during the credits, they go back to the Drew Barrymore show.
Yep.
And then they talk about, like, the next book that she wrote.
Right, which is called... Heart of a Warrior, and it's by Sophie McGinty and not Sophie Brown.
Yep. And Drew Barrymore says, this is your best work yet.
And basically all she did was like yank that legend about the Christmas warrior and rewrite it as like historical fiction, basically.
Yes.
And they said it's her best work yet. And
then it's the real end of the movie, because then the real credits pop up and then they stop showing the Drew Barrymore show.
Yep.
That is it.
She wore a lot of shawls. There was a lot of velvet in this movie. There was a ton of knitting. As a knitter myself, I had to say I was proud.
How did you feel about this movie if you were to dole out some emojis?
Sure. I would give this 3.5 Christmas tree emojis. I almost want to give it 4 because of the Princess Switch tie-in, because that meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I will say I had a good time. I did not sour on it as much as you did. Having this discussion tells me how poorly you felt about it.
Well, there were just a lot of...
Why is this happening?
Why is this happening? Because I'm giving it a solid 3 Santa Claus emojis.
Okay.
Which I think is just like, it's an okay movie. Like, it you're not going to shut it off halfway. You're going to make it through the end. You'll kind of enjoy it. But then when you look back and you'll think, why did that happen? And there's a lot of that. So it's not a great movie. It's not a terrible movie. It's just super medium.
I would say what there is to fall in love with in this movie is Scotland itself.
Yes.
The backdrop was definitely sold. Good job, Scotland Tourism Board. Looked great.
Hamish was good.
Hamish was the best little greasy stinky dog you ever did see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know it was greasy and stinky.
With all the things that we like about this movie, every Netflix movie gives us some sort of lesson about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Katrina, what does this movie teach you about Christmas?
Even the iciest of hearts can be thawed when wrapped in a velvet Scottish tartan.
Oh, there you go. On Christmas.
What did this teach you about Christmas, August?
If you have enough money, you can buy your own Christmas fantasy.
She really did. She was like, oh, well, I'm just going to basically purchase this town and these people as my friends.
Yep. Now they will be eternally grateful and they can't not be my friends.
Well intended. It was still whimsical.
Yeah.
Still a good time.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't great in any way.
It was not the best of times. It was not the worst of times.
No.
It was just somewhere in the middle.
It was
the medium of times.
The medium place. Yeah. It was the Cincinnati.
Why you gotta crap on our town?
No, it's a reference to
they call it Cincinnati?
The good place. Yeah, Cincinnati was the medium place.
Really? I don't remember
I think they described it as Cincinnati.
Yeah, I guess we are pretty medium.
Yeah.
Well, all right, one movie to go.
Here we go.
Or it's a single all the way.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yes.
All the way.